Sitting next to me is an unlikely person to find at a tennis tournament, but the world of movies and films can, of course, cross all sorts of boundaries, and there's nothing like a good sporting movie. There's nothing like a good movie that involves some form of tennis. And Josh Nelson is a regular contributor to the 774 Drive program. He's with Filmology.com, and I'm just grateful that he's brought himself out into the heat today, out of a movie theatre somewhere, no doubt. Hello, Josh.
Good afternoon, Lindy.
What were you thinking?
I was thinking, geez, it's hot. You love the outdoor broadcast, but I'm yearning for the air-conditioned studio right now.
Of course you are. We'll get you back in there soon enough. Perhaps if you come back next week when it's slightly cooler. The forecast for next week looks absolutely delicious.
But of all the days.
Can't wait that. This is by far the worst one. But we're here and we're loving it. And the fans are here and we're loving the fact that they are continuing to turn up. Hey, the fan zone's doing all right next door. This little hot shots business, isn't it? It's quite good.
I'm just thinking, does this mean I can call myself the hottest film critic in Melbourne?
You can.
Just the
officially.
Afternoon?
Without a doubt. I'll give
you the first and only time
for doing that. the funny thing about tennis is that it doesn't, unlike baseball, for example, it seems to have been every second film in America involves baseball in some way. But I was trying to remember today or think of the number of films that I've seen that have had something to do with tennis. Wimbledon obviously leaps to mind.
Yep.
That's the first one. Does Match Point count? It's got really nothing to do with
tennis. It's a
tennis.
Little tenuous, isn't
it's
it?
It's so tenuous.
It has a tennis-themed name.
Yeah.
Jonathan Rhys-Meyers mm-hmm. plays a tennis... I think he's a tennis coach or a tennis instructor in that film, isn't he? Before he has the forbidden romance with Scarlett Johansson.
He is. There you go.
Yeah, I'm struggling. There's a couple of docos that I've seen that have riffed on tennis. One we'll talk about in a little bit. But, yeah, I'm struggling. I can think of scenes. Normally rom-coms, if there's a sort of a split between a husband and wife, normally it's often settled, particularly at the kind of upper-middle-class American rom-com is settled on a tennis court. And normally someone ends up getting a ball hit in the face.
There's no doubt about
with
it.
With the ridiculous black eye in the following scene.
And for some reason, Adam Sandler's face
yes,
just
exactly.
into my mind.
Surprise, surprise. Yeah,
yeah, that's right. He has to be a part of that. Or sometimes it's always about, you know, if you see a middle to upper class American group of friends when they've gone to the country house yep. for the weekend, and there'll always be some kind of tennis.
It's either golf or tennis.
It's, oh, exactly
the Revenge
right.
of the Nerds territory. You know, yeah. Rodney Dangerfield, I'm yeah. sure, has done a few tennis themed
no
films.
No doubt about it. But in terms of documentaries, I saw one a few months ago now on the Williams sisters. I think it's just called Venus and Serena.
Yep.
What a very good film. And documentaries have that great ability of being able to get behind some of the facade that is so much a part and parcel of professional sport these days, and tennis is no exception to that. But this film was really able to get behind what is a very unusual life that these women lead and gives them a deeper understanding of how they've got to be where they are in the public's consciousness more than anything else, even just quite apart from being fine athletes. Have you seen that?
No, look, it was one that screened at the Melbourne International Film Festival last year, and I missed it, and I was really annoyed about it because I'm quite a fan of the sports docos, particularly those that broaden the scope beyond the sort of the underdog narrative, that give us that kind of racial, political, social context. And Venus and Serena seemed like a film that was kind of going beyond the veil in terms of that regard.
Without a doubt. And yep. and they went back, I can't remember the filmmaker's name, but they did a good job because not only did they do their own interviews, but they went back and got some very early footage of interviews that was done with both of them, and particularly involving their father, who of course basically controlled their careers up until fairly recently. And especially in those early days where he would cut short interviews and he would step in if he felt as though they were going into waters that he wasn't comfortable with. And you got a sense of how hard those girls worked when they were young and how pretty much being a tennis champion was the only thing that they were ever expected to do.
Yep.
And if they ever digressed from that, there was a deep frowning, which you got to see on the documentary. So having access to that footage, and because they were so well known in America so early on in their careers, there's quite a lot of footage around, which I had not seen previous to this.
Were they a product of the Bolotari school?
Not really, no. Okay. They were trained by their father.
Right.
So it was which is one of the reasons I think that they have been so successful. I mean, not so much Venus anymore, but we've got to remember that Venus is one of the most successful tennis players to have played the game. It's just that she did it so early and so young, and now she's to the stage where she's not playing such great tennis, but I don't really think her mind is in it. What else is left to prove for her? Whereas Serena seems to be the younger sister again, which comes out in the film.
Yep.
Serena really saying, no, because it was all about Venus. It was all about Venus being the star. It was all about Venus being the champion. And then Serena going, hey, I'm pretty good too. And then there's this massive drive from Serena that's still there, you know, to prove herself.
It's such a remarkable period of prolonged dominance, isn't it? I mean, I was talking this discussion with friends the other day about the kind of the gap, or now that Federer's kind of been on the wane slightly, and where that stands for the males. And it's probably the four standouts. But with females over the last probably the post Steffi Graf era, it's been the Williams sisters.
Really has. And the extraordinary thing about Serena is that it's really on her own, of her own making. That when she's there, when she's ready to play, she's unbeatable. Yep. Really. And now, you think surely that would start to wane, but it seems that desire and that ability and the power that she has, just in her body shape and her body size and her fitness.
Yep.
There's just nobody that's really come through to be able to match that on a regular basis. Every now and then, you know, the Sam Stosur at the US Open are kind of a bit out of the blue. And last year with Sloane Stephens beating Serena, but a major injury cloud for Serena early on in the tournament. So it's, you know, little bits and pieces like that a change comes through. But you get, yeah, so I would recommend that movie. Have you seen anything at all along those lines?
Well, look, there's a film that's just come out at ACME, the Australian Centre for the Moving Image. It's called Battle of the Sexes. And it's I think it's really interesting you raise the issue about the Williams sisters, because this documentary looks at gender inequality in sport and the kind of the gender references in sport. And it looks at it through the lens of an exhibition match between Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs in 1973.
I remember that.
The Battle of the Sexes. And I think it's interesting in terms of how far we've progressed and maybe how far we haven't progressed, because the comments that have been made about the Williams sisters, both of which who appear at the very end of the film in terms of honouring Billie Jean King, is these gender comments, the gender bias that say they play like men. We still hear this. This is still contemporary, you know, for all the kind of this self-congratulation of look how far we've come since the 60s. Maybe we haven't come that far. But this is a really fascinating documentary, because I'd heard about this match before, but I'd never seen any footage of it. And I don't think I really appreciated the importance of Billie Jean King outside of tennis, beyond, I guess, more sort of the contemporary movements in terms of the LGBT movement and so on. But this is a really interesting documentary, and it's got a curious structure to it as well, because it begins with a very brief but economic précision, the sexual revolution of the 60s, yep, in terms of sort of second wave feminism. Then it launches into 1973 and a match between Riggs and Margaret Court, because initially Billie Jean King says, this is a lose-lose situation. Why would I want to jump in the court with this guy? And of course, he wipes the floor with Margaret Court. And then we backtrack.
Who we have to say was very much in the twilight of her career at that time.
Well, I've read differing reports. One that said that she was actually still number one at the time.
Ah.
But there's some interesting issues in terms of the competing tours, the women's tour at sort of a crucial juncture in 1973. But the documentary retreats back to 1968 and gives us a really interesting look at how the women's tour evolved and the kind of the rival tour. So we get the original nine, these nine women who...
Of which we met one of them yesterday in Judy Dalton.
Yeah, okay. So here. She's a great presence in the documentary, mm, as well. I should mention before I forget that there's actually a screening at ACME tomorrow evening. And I think she's going to be there with a Q&A and a panel after the screening of this film. So, you know, on the basis of what I've seen of her in the documentary, she's quite a talker, I think.
She is.
Yeah. So we get the kind of an understanding, I think, not just of the racial bias, and particularly the kind of the showmanship of Bobby Riggs and his women should be in the kitchen, women shouldn't have, you know, access to equal pay, etc. on the court. But the struggle just to have a tour that was competing against the male tour, and then that kind of the interesting political and ideological division within the women tour itself, those factions, you know, the conservative Margaret Court on one side with Chris Evert, then we had the competing tour with, you know, people like Yvonne Goolagong in it, and then these original nine saying, you know, we've we've got to be a unified front here if it's ever going to get anywhere. And then I think that leading back up to the point where Billie Jean King decided enough's enough. I'm sick of you, Bobby Riggs. Let's do this. And then that's the kind of the climax of the film is the match itself.
And you're saying Serena and Venus have a presence at the end of the film. Is
yeah.
that sort of making commentary on the impact of that event on them or on tennis in general?
Well, yeah, particularly that event. And in terms of the, I guess, the resonances of what Billie Jean King stood for in that moment and how important it was in terms of an idol or someone to look up to. So we get just a brief shots of contemporary female tennis players, you know, Sharapova, the Williams sisters and so on, saying, yeah, that was a big deal for me. What I learnt about that and what I remember seeing of that and hearing about that in later years.
Yeah.
And think, you know what, we can compete and we do need to keep pushing for equal pay, etc. So the kind of the origins of what they're still fighting for now, and not just in tennis. I mean, there's a quite a pointed remark at the end of this documentary that says, you know, professional tennis is still one of the only sports, if the only, that has equal pay for men and women across comparable professional sports. So, yeah, this is an important documentary. And I think it's important for current generation too, whose idea of gender politics is very much rooted in what they learn from Mad Men on a weekly basis, particularly of the 60s. I think it's very easy to forget and see how kind of laughable some of the footage is of what was thrown at a lot of these female competitors. And that same kind of gender baggage that we see today. They play like a man, she looks like a man. This ridiculous kind of gender stereotypes.
But what's interesting, for some of those comments, they come from other women.
Yeah,
which we should really point out. It's not just men who are making those.
Oh, absolutely.
Comments.
I'm not suggesting it's a male-female sexism.
No, but it does come from other women who are, you know, using that as a way of explaining why they may have been beaten by them on the day, which is even more disappointing from my perspective. Not disappointing at all for Caroline Wozniacki. This afternoon, she's defeated Christine McHale of the United States in three sets. She won the first 6-love and then almost inexplicably lost the second 1-6, which we all sort of went, Caroline, what are you doing? Are you thinking about Rory? Are you not concentrating on the match? But then came back to win the third 6-2. So a solid win in the end. And for the fifth seed, Wozniacki the 10th seed, and for the fifth seed in Radwanska of Poland, she has easily beaten Govitsova, which I think I've pronounced correctly. If Craig Willis is listening, he'll be horrified. 6-love, 7-5 to the fifth seed, Radwanska.
Govitsova.
Govitsova. Thank you very much, Josh.
Pleasure.
Great to see you. Josh Nelson from Filmology.com with his Battle of the Sexes documentary. Make sure that you check that out. What did you say, at Acme as of Saturday night?
There's a special screening on Friday night, and it's actually screening from now until the 13th of February. So check out screening times at acme.net.au.
And just before you go, are you a tennis fan?
I am. I actually have fond memories of, as a 14-year-old, buying a ticket to Centre Court to see my obsession at the time, which was Monica Seles.
Really?
Yes.
You loved Monica?
I did. The grunting. No, it was more than the grunting, actually. I thought she was a great player.
She absolutely was a great player.
And she played so well here, too. Which
yeah,
is
she really
benefit.
Did. She loved playing.
But I saved up my pennies.
That's a lovely story. Come and see us next week.
Will do.
Josh Nelson, Filmology.com.